Thank you very much, Vice-Rector Helena Rasko-Puttonen. And since we are moving, or we are lagging a little bit behind in our program, we have to move on. But first of all, I would like to say that you have the opportunity to ask more questions and talk to her. She will join us for the dinner tonight. So all of you who have registered for the program, you are invited for the dinner tonight, and our Vice-Rector will be there as well. Maybe open the next seminar. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we will report back to you. And next I would like to invite our participatory theater, which has focused on the EFA themes of this year in their presentation. And please enjoy yourselves. We are a bit behind, but we'll move on. Thank you.
Yes, hi. Welcome you as well to the seminar. We are here in the education group. I'm out there. My name is Jarmo, and I'll be the one to help you. Worry about them. They'll be going around here and doing their stuff. The first piece of today's puzzle is
ta-da!
You. Thank you. You will see three different scenes. And like I said, these scenes are not related to any specific country, but think about how they are related to your country. You have time for discussion amongst yourselves after each scene, and we'll go through these scenes after you've seen all three of them. But we'll stop for a while after each scene. So, moving on to the first scene, just watch and look what you can see, and then you'll have time to discuss what you saw. In this first scene, we'll have a teacher and a student at school.
Oh, welcome to our free school. This is a government-funded school. Here you don't have to worry about tuition fees or any of that nonsense. Please come in. I'm Mrs. Teacher, and I'll be responsible for your orientation today.
Oh, I feel so excited and lucky to be here.
Yes, you are very privileged indeed. In our school, you'll be getting top-notch education free of charge. And here is a list of school books you'll be needing during your first part of this semester. By the way, you can get it all online.
But I have to buy all of this by myself?
Well, of course, my dear. But let's move on. Here is the rule book of our school. There you will find all the guidelines for every situation imaginable. Oh, The inventory is very easy to use, and if there are any difficult words you don't understand, there's a thesaurus at the back of the book. So you won't have to bother us teachers with your questions. On page 64, you will find the model and the measurements for the school uniform. And mind you, the skirt can't be more than one inch above the knee. We have a contract with a tailor. And by the way, he takes Visa and MasterCard. Of course, you'll have to have your school uniform ready on your first day of school.
I have to get a school uniform.
But of course, my dear. No skirt, no shirt, no education. We just want you to fit in here.
I thought this was a free school. I mean, my parents can barely afford my bus ride here. I'm sorry, I think there's no way I could stay in school if I could pay for all this stuff.
Well, how unfortunate for you, my dear. Well, if there's nothing more I can do for you, then we're done here. Thank you. Ta-ta! Ta-ta-ta! Ta-ta!
Think about this in relation to your particles, similarities, differences. Anyway, every idea is very welcome.
Sad for me. Very sad.
This family if I had a job.
Not another word of that sort.
sort, young lady. Go to your room and do your homework.
I bet flipping burgers wouldn't be so bad. Teddy Bear Airlines! Whee!
Discuss what you saw in this scene. And think about this in relation to your own country once again.
I feel like I can't handle it. sound like you need some caffeine and a really big piece of chocolate cake. Come on, my treat.
Time for discussion of what you saw in this scene, then we'll go through these all these three scenes you just saw together. Now, discuss.
Good to have them.
Yeah,
so good. I think it's normal. It's something that
Yeah, it's normal to buy the book. It's something you need to do. Yes, please.
I'm going to start with most of the states that are free of China.
All right. Nice to hear books are free. Germany, you said. Yeah, okay.
I'm from Ghana. Okay. In Ghana, for instance, yes, the government provides books.
Okay.
But the books are not sufficient.
All right.
I mean, how do you, where do you use the books? It's just in school. You can't pick it up. Sometimes I don't like to bring the books back.
All right.
So they get lost. So you know, you need them to work to use the books. Now, okay. If you were a parent of that child and you want your child to excel, you know, so you like to buy books for your own child. Because you want a better future for that child.
Yeah.
So at home, readings, you know, the future at home, because you can use those books to do well.
Yeah. So it would be good to take the books home, and it would be good if they would be sufficient. So sometimes, yes, the books are old as well. Yeah.
I think I got something in relation to teachers, to their relationship.
Okay.
And also mass education. And I related to Cameroon. Mm-hmm. It's even worse because you can have a class 5 times more than this.
Right.
And it's full of students for one teacher.
Yeah, one teacher has 5 times this many students. Yeah. Yeah, so that's very difficult. It's not very personal, and you don't really get just, you get a lecture and that's it. Oh, yes.
I think the issue was not so much the cost or the fees for only the books, but there are costs for many other things other than books. So my understanding is that there should have been a system to determine who can afford to pay what and who cannot afford to pay. For example, in the second scene, she was a single mother, if I'm not mistaken, because I didn't see a father. So in that situation, they should, the school or the policy or the system, let's say in Ghana, we have differentiated systems where, you know, everybody gets some things covered, like tuition is covered. But then we have a cost-sharing system. And then you have what you call academic user fees. And even with the academic user fees, we have a means test or something to determine who can afford, and therefore my son, for example, nobody will pay for him the academic user fees. But for the child who is from a less privileged background, there is a system where, you know, the government or there's a loan system, or there's a bursary system, or there's even a scholarship system to help a child who cannot, whose parents cannot afford.
Okay.
So the issue has to be a little bit more broader than just the cost of the books. Or
It's not only about the books, it's about pretty much everything that costs.
Because at the end you want quality education.
Yeah,
you don't want an education which is all in theory free, but there is no quality.
That's right. What kind of ideas would you have? Well, this was actually one that you need to think about everything else also, not only what the books cost or everything else costs, but what other ideas would you have for preventing dropouts? Just these, yes.
In Ethiopia, countryside especially, because in Ethiopia you have to buy a uniform. You really have to.
Yeah.
And the roadside, if you are a farmer and you have 6 children, how can you buy uniform for all of them? So they choose only boys maybe to go to school. So if they make if they decided not to ask uniforms at school, it would be one solution.
No mandatory uniforms at school. Yes.
Yes.
That would be one. Any other ideas?
Can I say something about uniforms? Sometimes I think it is to bring a balance between the learners themselves, because we come from, you know, financially, either for money, either for poor, either for different people. So now if all of us are wearing the uniform, we become one thing, so one gives us to themselves.
That's true.
So I wouldn't say like limitation is, but in the school level, I think the uniform brings the balance between the
Brings the balance between the learners, yes.
And I agree with her because, again, to take the example of Ghana, now the government provides the uniforms for the rural schools. They don't provide the uniforms for the city or the urban or where, you know, parents can afford, but it's now a policy for the rural schools that every child walking into school gets a school uniform,
right.
And to prevent the imbalance of some people dressing nicely and other people dressing badly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it brings balance to the students.
It's not about a uniform. The gender is very important because it has to check immoral behavior, try to make policy. Some students that go out of town and misbehave, do very bad things, and they are not identified by their school uniform. In terms of the uniform they are wearing,
Then
it's going to be a messy situation.
Right.
The uniform is very important, so that when you are in the uniform, you know that whatever I do, you know, that the complaints or the report goes to my school.
Yeah,
right. And they punish the image of my school.
Yeah, so it can prevent delinquents acting badly as well. Yeah.
I think good governance has a lot to do as far as school dropouts are concerned.
Of course.
Some of our townships, even mine, you cannot expect a student to come and write a course in English and a teacher who has no proficiency in English marks that paper. He cannot give you the right mark. And then if you stay there for about 5 years, it's simply because your professor or your teacher is not efficient in your own language, you're bound to drop out.
That's
right. So good governance too has some.
Yeah, and especially with teachers who actually know the language they were supposed to be teaching it. Yes, you in the back.
Just going back to this issue of school uniforms.
Yeah.
When we look at the case study of Liberia, especially after the civil wars, it became very important. The uniform had to distinguish between the school of the students of a particular institution, and to keep away the hooligans from the city, from entering the campus. So it was really important. Then when we look at dropouts, it will depend on the environment. Again, if we are looking at Liberia, for example, after the war, there were so many things affecting that. There were so many causes for dropout.
The difficult situation.
Yeah, I was just thinking from this particular question, how to prevent dropouts.
Yeah.
Besides the other issues that I already raised, I would like to add, if we talk the case of Nepal, this standardized testing is the main problem why our students are dropping out.
Right.
The testing system. This evaluation and strict examination is the main thing we should change a bit.
Yeah, so changing the evaluation system.
Yeah.
Okay. One more, let's take you. Yes.
I'm just a big thing about how to prevent dropouts, especially in my country, from Slovakia. There's not a lot of parent support of the students because I think it has to do with how education is evaluated in my country and the countries around.
Right.
That education is pretty much nothing. Teachers are kind of the lowest. They don't get enough money, therefore they're not as important in our society, therefore why would support them?
Right. So that would be to elevate the station of the teachers themselves and the whole education system. Yeah. Good idea. We'll be moving on now to the next piece of today's puzzle, which is skills. Here we have four different scenes. You'll see the first three in a row, then we'll be going through them, and then we'll look at one other scene. In these first three scenes, we'll see a character called Paula, and we'll see what's going on with her. And in this scene, I'm also in the room.
Door is the right one.
What do you mean? Well, I don't know how to read.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been able to go to school.
Why not?
Well, I have two older brothers who already went to school, and because I'm a girl, my parents thought that I don't need to go to school at all. And they feel that I'm more useful for the family if I stay at home.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Well, this one says men, and that one says women.
Okay. Thank you.
Knock, knock, knock.
Come in.
Thank you. second degree. And we don't have alternative activities.
Okay, let's continue. So, if we think about the first scene here, was of course in front of the bathrooms here, there was a girl who didn't know how to what?
Read.
That's good, yes. So, thinking about these basic foundation skills, what sort of ideas would you have if you could develop these skills in working life? Reading, writing, these basic foundation skills. Any ideas? How would you develop these skills? Is it related to school or something? Any ideas? No. Do you need reading and writing skills in life? Yes. So are they important? Yes, they are. Yeah, it's better to start earlier than later to learn them. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yes.
Last time I was here in April, one of the universities in Finland had developed a game that helps even out-of-school children to read and write.
Yeah.
I'm wondering
tomorrow we will hear about that game and that project more. We have people from that project tomorrow presenting.
Because this girl could have benefited from that game.
She could have benefited from that game. Yeah.
Somebody mentioned that you better start early.
Yeah.
How impossible is it actually to teach an adult how to read in their own mother tongue? Is it really so much more difficult to teach an adult than it is to teach a child? Is it too late?
It's not too late, but yeah. I don't really have experience of teaching adults, so I don't know that much about that. Anyone else have any opinions on this idea? Is it easier to teach children to read and write than adults?
No, we are, with our NGO, we are teaching adults how to read and write in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And it's working nicely.
Okay.
Yeah. They have some skills that children don't have yet, so it's not more difficult.
It takes time, and many adults don't have the time.
Yeah, that's the problem. But if they are eating glasses.
Okay, so it works. Adults or children, anyway, start earlier than later is better. Then, what sort of skills do you think this person, Paul, in these scenes was lacking in? What skills did she not have? There was a few at the same time. Just one here around.
Practical skills.
Practical skills, yes. Is there something else?
Actually, I was in exactly that situation the first day I came to Finland. Very, very clearly. 33 years ago, being in a cafe and then looking at the doors and wondering, was I this letter or was I M or N?
Reading,
I could not read this, but there was just an M and an N. And then I was, you know, quite embarrassed to say, am I an M or an N? I know the dignity of our students in Finland, and there are many adults in this situation all over the world. And if this exactly this applied, this survival skills are so important, and it's a very important place to start, rather than starting in the genitive groups and the NSCV and the NSCV. These very practical skills are really very important for dignity, human dignity. It's not such a far-fetched situation. If you allow more experiences, I would like to add two more. But one thing is that to add some visual marks and learn the symbols and add some symbols to written text, that will help a lot, and that is what's key. I have to tell you that years back I was
finding in Leningrad to go to the Lenin Museum, and there were big long queues. And of course, used to be in queues. I was standing there for a long time to get into this Lenin Museum door. And it ended up that I was standing in a toilet for the men. And the second thing was when I was in Tokyo in a railroad station, an underground station, and everything was in not only Japan, and I didn't know what to go and which train to go and what. But I was looking for the other people go, and I found the women's toilet because I followed where the women were going.
Then we can think about was Paula equipped in handling a problematic situation? And they start, the staff started to fight here. Did she have experience in dealing with that sort of situation? Like she said that she didn't have any experience, yes, because it wasn't. Didn't have any practical work training. So that was one. She didn't have any problem solving skills there. And what was going on with these machines? Did she know what to use?
No, I've never seen one.
She didn't know what an RCA machine was.
I think one problem was that she had a good training, but perhaps she was younger than the people she was supposed to lead. So that was a kind of
critical. I think the problem was that she failed to do her homework before the interview. Usually, if you are going out to lead, you may be leading, for example, a company that you may not know. Okay, the products that they produce, you are not a master of those products.
That's right.
But before you go for the interview, you need to know the basics. Mm-hmm. But she did not do it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I see that later on you and Elirun, you also gave her the task very instantly. Her readiness level was not yet like to handle such type of meeting or such type of situation. Maybe you should have given her some time to get used to in the system. And
It was just based on, okay, you studied a lot and that's that.
There was the failure of the leadership, right? And then the staff. Yeah.
Okay, a couple of more. Yes, you and then you.
As I see the situation, it's a lack of experience and connection between studying and practical issue. For example, I'm a teacher and I have my certificate from Russian Federation, and the problem is that we don't have so much practical training there. Yeah. So it was just for 1 month, and then I got my job, and it was like just throwing to this field.
Yeah.
And I said, what to do, whom to ask?
That's right. That's
and it's really between connection between your studying and work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just want to say, it's a question. Did you have hope? Because sometimes it can help you know, from the concept that you find within the negotiation is you are only given the first 2 years to do the degree. And then in that degree, it does not include the practice.
Yeah.
And then after you are finished, you are expected to find a job, your client is expected to go away. Does it mean that those 2 years do not have like an opportunity to apply that to the learning?
Yeah.
So what solution can you put about degree a solution today? Because
it's not their fault. Of course, for the job, we have to know they can't have in the background what is the part of our, but when it comes to the career life, we should have something to look at the critical side. Right. Yeah. We're moving on to the next question here. If education does not provide any of these skills, say all the foundational skills, all the transferable skills, technical vocational skills, using the proper machinery in a job, or dealing with a problematic situation in a classroom, or reading and writing, what can be done? Well, the game idea was there. Yes, that could be one for some people who are not in school, but they develop their reading and writing skills through this, even though they're not in school. But what if education does not provide this? Any ideas for what can be done then? If people have not learned in school. Yes.
I think naturally we are born with certain skills that we don't need any educational institutions to teach us. Like when she was standing, those two people were fighting. She doesn't need to go to any university to learn how to separate them.
Yeah. So she should have known what to do. Should be learned without just schools to know how to separate people who are fighting. Then, fourth scene related to skills. In this scene, you'll see three different countries, people from three different countries, let's call them X, Y, and Z. Not any specific countries, but three different countries.
We are thinking about renewing our education system.
Really? We were thinking about that as well.
Oh, what a happy coincidence. We've just come up with a model that works for every student. Here, try it out.
Great.
Right.
Oh.
Wow.
I don't think this works in our country.
Oh, what do you mean? It was great. How about you there?
It doesn't completely work in our country.
I don't think we're quite ready for this kind of model.
Why don't you try out this, but our curriculum?
Okay, I'll try anything once.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. I think I have some of that too.
You know, it fits, but kind of not. There's too much looseness.
We have a wide range of students, and this clearly doesn't take them all into account.
But hey, try this one. I think this will take all your different students into your account.
And in your country as well.
Yes. I think this is way too complicated for our students.
That's weird. It works for our students.
Hey, what are you doing with it?
Hey, don't change the system like that!
Okay. What did these clothes symbolize? How are they related to education? Yeah, education systems and models. That's what these clothes symbolize. Why cannot one country copy another country's education model? Politics? Yeah, culture.
Actually, there are many reasons for that. Cultural reasons, religious reasons, educational reasons. Many reasons you find. In my context, I'm from Pakistan. The things which I see here, these things are quite not applicable in my country.
Population-wide.
Yeah, published, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Different values,
that's true. Is there something that would be suitable for another country? Is anything that one country could copy from another country? Yes. What would these, any ideas? What could you provide for another country from your country's own model?
Ideas.
Ideas?
Experience.
Experience, right? Yes.
Financing models.
Financing models.
Mechanisms.
Yes. Good, yeah. Yes.
I think learning methods.
Learning methods, yeah. Hope. Trust between teachers and the government. Yes, that's it. I think we'll end with hope. That's the best thing you can offer each other. the third piece of today's puzzle, which is word. And in this scene, you'll see three unemployed workers applying for the same job. Unemployed workers applying for the same job. And I'm supposed to be in the role here as the employer in this scene. Hello, candidates. I'm so glad that you're all here. I have a few questions for you. First, tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, as my father, the CEO of Global Industries Incorporated, always says, I am destined to follow his footsteps to glory. And my uncle also, whom you might know from your golf club, always says that I am destined to shine one day. And besides, my second cousin's aunt, ex-husband's brother-in-law, who you know is the founder of this great, great company you have here, thinks that you couldn't possibly succeed without me.
Thank you, Candidate E. Candidate F?
I was the top of my class at the University of Royal Princeton. And I could cover you all over with my three master's degrees, if you know what I mean. And before that, I was the head of our student association and worked very hard.
Oh, good. And candidate A?
Well, I might not have fancy degrees or recommendations like E or F here, but I have 10 years' worth of experience in this. And if you'd pick me, you would find out that there's no situation I'm not familiar with.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. My next question is, are you ready for a long-term commitment?
Well, as my father, the CEO, always tends to say, I'm like my doctor mother in this. She's the most loyal and committed person alive.
All of my three master's degrees are from the University of Royal Queensbury. And, well, I would say I'm fairly committed. I didn't even glance at other universities' curricula, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm highly loyal, and my experience is that when there are problems, you solve them, you don't run away. I stood by my previous company till the very end.
Well, this is going to be so hard. Lastly, I would like to hear your motto.
Connecting is the key to happiness.
There is no knowledge without education.
Hard work pays off.
Thank you, candidates. You are all very different. So this is going to be a hard decision for me. I'm going to have to think about this for a while. So, what were these three unemployed workers' strengths? We had candidate E, who had a lot of family connections, yes. Candidate F, master's degrees, yes. Top quality education, yeah. And then candidate A,
experience.
Okay, let's vote on this if we can, if you have opinions according to. Who would you hire for a job if you had to pick one of these three? The one with the connections, the one with the education, or the one with the experience? Who would hire candidate E?
I don't know.
I just work.
Candidate E says that you need him because without him, without her, your company will not succeed. That's what the father told her. So if you don't hire her, you might be fired yourself.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else who's with candidate B here? No. Okay, yeah. Candidate F, the one with all the education?
No.
What about the one with the experience? Yeah, I could get fired, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, just who would you hire? Not advising me who to hire. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think that the three cases will be very different depending on the job and the environment.
That's right.
In one scenario, you may tend to hire A if your job is at stake and if that is the system in that particular environment.
Yeah. Different environments, you would hire different people, almost said fire different people. Yeah. Actually, yeah, in different situations, you fire different people. Okay, let's not go into that. So, now, the last thing with these people, we'll ask candidates E, F, and A back, and you can say something to all of them. What would you say to improve their chances of getting a job? So now they only had, one had connections, one had education, one had experience. So think about what would you say to these three different employees here. And when I touch them on the shoulder, then you'll get the chance to, first candidate E, what would you say to her? To improve her chances of getting a job. About the connections.
Then maybe a bit of warm and human touch.
Get her own experience.
Yeah.
Get education.
Get education.
Devote time, her own strength, because you do have a lot of family connections, but you also do have a strength as a human being, so we should work on that.
Okay.
Be humble.
Yes. Be humble.
That's very good.
Then candidate F, quite a lot of education.
I will tell candidate F to get some experience. Sometimes it doesn't matter. You can do it internship. But I'll be paid because it is obvious that she might have had a second degree, second master's degree, because she could not find a job with the first one. It's always important to get experience, even if it's without money.
Mm-hmm. It's important to get experience.
I think having focus is another thing.
Having focus.
You may have several PhDs. You may not be a master of any.
Then, lastly, candidate.
Smile.
That's always good advice.
Rest for the interview.
Don't rely only on experience. Yeah. Not experience alone cannot give you a job. You need some practical education skills.
Yeah. And some connections also.
So,
I'll connect with these people.
So, all these three people together would probably be the best applicants. So
maybe you hire all three.
Probably, yeah, I'll hire all three and create new jobs as well.
Hey!
Oh! Yeah. Yes. Thank you!
To bring the gender dimension, next time one of the employers should be a woman. You were the employer twice.
Very good advice. Well,
next time there should be a man. The employees.
And one of the employees.
That's very true. Thank you very much for participating with us. Continue to discuss these ideas during the session. seminar. This was merely the beginning, and now actually I have to run and teach class, actually. So, thank you very much, and have a good seminar.